God, I thank you so much that we have come together and have learned from your word so far today. I thank you for the grace and mercy and compassionate God that you are, and that in this passage we could see Israel giving so generously to you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word this morning, that you would use me in my sickness right now, and that you would speak through me despite of it, through your spirit, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. So, John Wesley was one of the great evangelists of the 18th century. He was actually really well known for being really generous. So, in 1731, he had decided that he was going to cap his expenses so that he would be able to give money away. So in those days, that first year, he made 30 pounds of income. And he decided that he would cap his expenses off at 28 pounds. So he gave away 2 pounds. Now that seems really piddly now, but back then it was a decent amount. 30 pounds a year was a decent living. So his second year, his income actually doubled, but he kept his expenses at 28 pounds, so he was able to give away 32 pounds. And the third year, his income actually went up to 90 pounds, but he kept his expenses at 28 pounds, so he gave away 62 pounds. And as throughout his life, there was a point when he made maybe as high as 1,400 pounds. That's today probably the equivalent of a six-figure income. But he still capped his expenses close to 30 pounds and was able to give so much away. He was very generous. But it's not just him that was generous. If you went to Remarkable Lives last spring, you would have heard about a lot of generous people, like Charles Simeon, who had taken his inheritance from a brother's death and actually put it into a trust so that he could provide parishes with evangelical priests. And not just him, but William Wilberforce, who lived generously and helped out a whole village, and actually even used his life to help abolish the African slave trade. And then we heard about so many other people in that class as well, if you were part of it, who gave up their, not just their incomes or their inheritance or their time or their talents, but their whole lives. This is how these people lived. And it was because they were recipients of God's compassion and his mercy. God's generous grace stirred them to be generous with their lives. And so these individuals' hearts responded to God with generosity, and they gave back to him their inheritance, their income, their skills, their lives. And this week, we read about Israel's response to God's generosity. Because if you remember, when we last met together, we learned about how they rebelled against God and had made a golden calf. So they had been given the instructions of how to worship God, but they completely threw them out the window and built a golden calf instead, put an altar in front of it, and participated in false worship and rebelled against God. And then God told them he would no longer dwell with them. And we left on that cliffhanger. Then we had a snow day, and Crystal sent out a video teaching. And in that teaching, we learned that there was good news for the people, actually. Because Moses had gone and said to God, God, we don't even want the promised land if you're not going to go with us. If we don't have your presence, we don't want that gift of the promised land. And so God renewed the covenant with his people, and he told Israel he would go with them. And this was such good news and grace. Crystal had taught us in that video that the people could be restored because of God's character, and they could be restored because of God's commitment. And we learned in that week, too, that Yahweh is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. We learned that about his character. And for the Israelites, in this part of their journey, this amazing mercy that they are the recipients of result in their joyful obedience in the way that they give back to Yahweh in this passage. So as we look at this passage, we look at what and how they give. And we see that because of God's mercy, Israel gives their treasures and talents. And because of God's mercy, Israel gives willingly and abundantly. So number one, because of God's mercy, Israel gives their treasures and talents. In Exodus 5, 4 to 9, it says, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece." So Moses is giving the Israelites these instructions of what to bring him. For if they're willing, from what they have, they can bring these possessions of theirs so that they can build the tabernacle. And this is really good news because God's plans to dwell among his people are back on track. Their rebellion hasn't sidetracked God's plans to dwell among his people. His grace and compassion will allow him to dwell among them once again. So Moses asks the people to bring what they have, and together they can contribute from their belongings. And Sarah's lesson on the tabernacle, she kind of reminded us where these possessions, where these former slaves would even get such possessions, right? Exodus 12, 35, 36 says, looking back to that point, "The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians." So this is back when they're leaving Egypt. And God has made the Egyptians favorably disposed to the Israelites. And so they have these ingredients or products necessary to build the tabernacle. The Lord provided for them through the Egyptians. Everything they had was from God. And now, whoever is willing is to give God what they have in order to go through with the construction of the tabernacle. If you did your whole Bible connections during this week, you would have read about a time when Israel is actually in the Promised Land. And they're settled, and they have a ruler, king, and they all have their homes, and King David has a temple, a palace. And he wants to build the Lord a temple. He wants the Lord not to live in a tent anymore. He wants him to have a permanent residence as well. And so God says to him, it wouldn't be him, it would be his son Solomon. And David asks, though, that he can do a collection. So the people gather together their belongings and actually wholeheartedly give their belongings and possessions for the temple. And David has this great prayer of response. And he's talking and he prays how great God is. But in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, 14 to 16, he prays, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything that comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for your building, for building you a temple for your holy name, comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." See, David's acknowledging that all he has comes from God. It was God's. And similarly, back in the wilderness, it was God that had provided all that the Israelites had. It was his. So their response in Exodus 35, 20 to 24 is, "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. And as you read at your tables, the list goes on in more detail about what they brought. And the word offering is repeated here because it's worship. They're bringing what God had given them back to God. And there's the words free will offering, wave offering. They're giving to God as worship. And like a wave offering is kind of like if you went to a concert and you wanted the singer to see kind of that you were in the audience, you might have a sign and you're like, Garth Brooks, I love you so much. So they're taking their items and they're like, Yahweh, we love you so much. Look, we brought this for you. It had been given to them by God and they're giving it back to God. Now at this point, we should be asking ourselves the question, who are we worshiping with our treasure? Do we recognize that everything that we have is God's? We should examine what we are using it for. At this point in the story, it's encouraging because Israel has their priorities straight. In light of God's compassion and mercy that they received, the Israelites can give their belongings, their treasures to the Lord. So the Israelites give their treasures to God. But they also give their talents to the Lord. Exodus 35, 11 to 12 says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle with its tent and its coverings, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the ark with its poles and the atonement cover, and the curtain that shields it. And the list goes on. And it's just re-informing them of the items necessary for the construction of the tabernacle. And these are from the instructions that Moses received earlier in the book of Exodus. So the mere fact that they're asked to use their skills to create the tabernacle was this rich reminder of God's mercy after what they had done. And he's rich in mercy that he will dwell with them, and rich in mercy that he will use people to build the tabernacle that he will dwell in. Exodus 35, verse 25 to 36. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, and all the women who were willing and had spun the yarn spun the goat hair. The Israelites were giving their skills and abilities to God. Actually, the word work in this passage, it's in this passage 15 times. And skilled or skills is in here 10 times. So this work and skill is really important. And it's important how they're using their work and their skills. Every skilled woman, women and men, all the community could contribute their skills to work together to build the tabernacle. This is not like your high school group project where you know, you're like, oh great, I have Billy, and I know that I'm going to have to do all the work. Like, it's not like that. Everyone is excited to participate in doing their part of this project. And the amazing thing is that they get to do this for a holy God. It's not that he needed them to build them a tabernacle. It's that he invites them to participate in building the tabernacle. God doesn't need us to use our skills for him, but he invites us to use our skills for building his purposes and his kingdom. And so there is such good reason, too, to believe that everyone is, like, pretty much everyone is participating. Exodus 35:30-35, says, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers.'" Wow. So just as God had provided the materials needed to build the temple, the tabernacle, sorry, he was also giving the people the ability and the skill, the talent necessary to complete this project. And he chose specifically Bezalel and Oholiab to have the knowledge and talents to create the fine work and the finishing and furnishings. But not only that, but to teach others to come along and learn how to do this work as well. And so, you know, when we were learning about the instructions for the tabernacle when Sarah was teaching us, a lot of us had trouble just reading about it and filling in the charts. And these guys, they could just hear it and they would have the ability to know how to produce these items and to know how to teach these items. And they didn't have Google and they couldn't do kind of what I did and say, "Hey Siri, how many gold earrings do I need to make a atonement cover that's 2.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits wide?" They didn't need that. They knew. They were skilled by God. God had given them these gifts. And it kind of reminds me of Ezra's sermon on the weekend. Did any of you think about that when you were reading this? How this fruit, or the, sorry, the gifts that the Spirit gives the church for the common good. He gifts us so that we can build each other up. He's given us these gifts. And in this context is different because these are specific talents and skills that he's given them. But he also says that he filled them with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of skills. He had gifted them with the understanding they needed and the ability to teach others. And this is where it becomes so beautiful that God would use people. He would use these people, he would fill them, and he would use them to build his tabernacle. I have a friend who is an immensely talented artist, and she's amazing. She can look at a picture, and she can almost, like, draw it, and you almost can't tell that it's drawn. She's so good. She's so good. But there's one little problem. She told me that when she looks at the work of others, she actually thinks that her work isn't that great. She's fantastic. It is really great. The problem is we kind of can get caught up in comparing our skills to someone else's. See, Bezalel and Oholiab, they're chosen to do that specific task. So we all have different skills, and we all get to use our different skills and talents to build into the body of Christ. And we don't need to get caught up in comparing what we have with someone else. This can stifle. But when we give our gifts and talents to God, we can stop comparing with someone else. We're using these for God's glory. We don't need to get caught up in comparison. God gave the Israelites the skills needed to complete their work, asked of them, and they gave back to God using their skills, their talents. So we see that because of God's mercy that the Israelites experienced, they can give freely their talents and their treasures. And point number 2 is because of God's mercy, Israel gives willingly and abundantly. So how they give, it's not just what they give, but how do they give? And I want to look back to the Lord's instructions to Moses about this offering in Exodus 25. When he's receiving the directions for the tabernacle. So Exodus 25:1-2 says, The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give." And when Moses, he conveys this back to Israel in this passage, and then we read again how they respond, Exodus 35, 20 to 22. "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments, and all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord." So they are willing. We see this. And actually, one word that's repeated here, but you actually don't see it as much in the NIV as the ESV, and even more so in the Hebrew, is the word heart. They have a willing heart. Now, do you remember, if you look back with me through the whole book of Exodus, do you remember another heart that we've read about in this book? It was Pharaoh's heart. It was not a willing heart. It was a hard heart. But here we see, as the recipients of God's mercy and compassion, the Israelites have a willing heart. They give willingly. Unlike Pharaoh, whose hardened heart would not listen to Yahweh and not let the people go, Israel is willing to listen and obey and give generously. And this willing and abundant giving is something that we actually read about in the New Testament when Paul writes to tell the Corinthians of the way that the church in Macedonia is giving. So he's putting together a collection for the church in Jerusalem who is being persecuted and suffering from a famine. And he says in 2 Corinthians 8:1, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonia churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us." They do the giving because they want to give. Even though they are in poverty, extreme poverty, they are moved to give. Their hearts are willing to give because they have been the recipients of God's generosity. His generous grace, his generous mercy moves them to be generous. So we see that they and the Israelites here in this passage give willingly. Also, because of God's grace, they give abundantly. Exodus 36, 2-7, "Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, and the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for the work the Lord commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they had already had was more than enough to do all the work. The workers have begun the work, but the people are bringing too much, so they actually have to stop working. How they're bringing so much, it's impeding the work. They have to stop to collect what they've been given." It's hugely abundant giving. Can you imagine if one Sunday Jeff got up front and he said, he was talking about the multiply campaign and he's kind of giving us an update and he says, "You guys have to stop. We have too much. You're giving too much." I'm sure that's like every pastor's dream scenario, but and maybe we'll see it someday, right? But and this is happening here. They are giving so much out of this gracious heart that they have that they actually have to be told to stop. God's mercy and his grace have been so impactful on these people that they give until there's more than enough. There's too much. This exuberant, abundant, joyful response is to grace. And when we understand who this God is that we serve, and when we get a glimpse of what forgiveness means, the result should be gratitude. And this gratitude allows us to loosen our grip on our possessions so we can be generous. We can give generously and not hold on to what we think that we deserve. Actually, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells a story about a very generous woman. So one time, Jesus went to dinner at a Pharisee's house, and a woman who was a known sinner came in, and she poured out an expensive bottle of perfume on his feet. And her tears were streaming down her face and fell on his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. The Pharisees were disgusted by this, thinking that Jesus should know that the woman touching him is a sinner. But Jesus tells them a story in Luke 7, 41 to 47. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. This great love that was shown by this woman elicited an extravagant response. This perfume would not have been cheap for her. It is expensive. And she pours it out in gratitude. She's not trying to earn anything from Jesus. She's grateful. Israel had been forgiven much, and they can give their treasure and their talents willingly with grateful hearts. And this passage isn't in here so that we can say, woohoo, Israel was so good at giving. It's in here so we can say, woohoo, look at what happens when God's mercy and grace get to the heart. It changes people. It changes how they give. And we need to realize that we have been forgiven much. We were dead in our sin and deserving wrath. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 says, As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This grace and great love should transform our hearts to treasure God. And a heart that treasures God can give willingly. It can give joyfully and abundantly. It can give its treasures and its talent. And it can give its time, because in light of eternity, it lives in light of eternity. It can give its talents because it knows who gave its talents to it. And it can give joyfully and abundantly because it knows it has been given to abundantly. So, we as God's people can live in light of this grace and mercy. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your mercy and compassion that you just lavish on us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would transform our hearts with it, that you, Lord, by your Spirit, would just, yeah, you would just impact and transform our hearts because you are great. You are our treasure. And I pray that we would be willing to loosen our grip on our stuff. In your name, amen.